Just stay in a prayerful attitude, because we're going to give opportunity for you guys to share, to pray. You might want to share something, a bit of testimony, something has happened of recent times. You might have a word to share, and we'd like you to do that. You can come up the front here. If you're a little bit shy, just wave your hand and we'll bring the microphone down. That's okay. We don't mind that at all. But I just want to share with you something that I believe for me was a spiritual high mark, I think, just in May, just gone by. The last two or three years I've been going across to Australia to the National Convention and planning it in with business and building relations with Full Gospel Australia, and I've got to know them quite well now. And the last 2 years they've had their convention in Geelong, Victoria. And I found out about only 8 or 10 years ago that my great-grandfather was an Anglican minister in Geelong. Now, we have had none of my family are Christians, and my mum or any of that that two generations are Christians. But my grandfather, who I was raised by, because my mum was around about and I didn't have any parents to look after me, was writing, and quite often I've seen his poetry book. He used to write poetry and he talked about God. And I thought, well, there's, you know, something there. And just a little kid, you read these things and something gets in your spirit. There's an inheritance there. But I only found out a few years ago that my great-grandfather, his father, was a minister in Geelong. But I also found out that he was expelled from the Anglican Church for some terrible sins, which brought a curse on our family for four generations. And as I went back to Geelong just in May, they asked me to get up and share a testimony and so on. And we were in the Geelong Stadium. And as I got up, I couldn't help thinking that there's something spiritual about this, that over 100 years we have come full circle. And there's my great-grandfather, who was an Anglican minister, expelled from the church. And here I am, the first Christian of the last two or three generations, standing in Geelong and sharing my testimony. And, you know, the amazing thing is, I just think, isn't that amazing, just the sense of humour that God has got? Because for the first 12 years of my life, I spent it fossicking on the rubbish dump, the local rubbish dump, because that's what we did on the weekend. We went with our grandfather. And he fossicked for scrap metal and things like that, and we fossicked for toys, because that's what we did. We didn't know it was socially unacceptable. And so God's taking a rag and bone man, a guy that used to fossick on the rubbish dump, and taking him round the world, but taking him full circle back to that spiritual place where my great-grandfather was. I don't know anything else of the history further back, but my great-grandfather was a minister in Geelong, and there am I standing, sharing the testimony of what God's done in my life in Geelong. So I was quite emotional, I must admit. You know, 100 years, and I'm the first one now that far back down. And a curse of four generations come down, and broken marriages and illegitimate children and all sorts of stuff. But the spiritual atmosphere has now changed. Isn't God great? Yeah, take you off the rubbish tip, take you from the guttermost to the uttermost. Hey, awesome stuff. And you know, you guys have all got a testimony to share too. You know, sometimes, oh, there's other guy, you know, Colin Barr. You want to hear his testimony. His bulldozer tipped over and he was caught in the bulldozer and he was going down the bank. Oh, I wish I could have been crushed by a bulldozer and had him. No. You don't want that testimony, I can assure you. And only Colin's the only one who could come out of that experience the way he did. But you've got a testimony of your own. And we want to give you opportunity to spend 5 or 10 minutes just to share something. It might be a prophetic word, it might be a word from the Lord, it might be testimony, that's fine. If it's 2 minutes, that's fine. If it's 10 minutes, that's fine. We've got till 12 o'clock, so this is your time to share. So anyone like to share?
Yeah, good morning, my dear brothers. It's pretty lovely to be here. So, and my testimony is going way back to my childhood. I was brought up in the Honda Compassion in Island Bay in Wellington. They didn't know it, because it's found out through my relations and my sister and that, a 17th officer of the family. So they didn't know what to do, so they put me into the mental institution down the mainland, we call it, the South Island. So they, I was there for all, right through my childhood, right up under the welfare in the early days. I didn't know who the Lord was or anything. So I got to talking, and the Full Gospel Fellowship was starting up in Nelson at the same time it was in Auckland. And they met at the Quantity Inn Hotel. So I went along there. They took me along there, and I was in the mental institution. Didn't know you had the big crusader going up in the car, down to the car factory in Nelson. So I went along there. So I gave my heart to the Lord there and that, and then later on, then I went to the Apostolic Church. Then they said, we're going to baptise you up at the Maitai River in Nelson. It was the middle of winter. It was not like it is today. It was really overcast and wet. They said, we don't know, we might have to cancel it. I said, as Jesus was baptised in the river of Jordan, go ahead, I bet the water's cold. I'm not fussy. So they baptised me, then I came through the Holy Spirit. Then I got full with the Holy Spirit later on. Then in doing the shopping, so I shot along to the gents and started coming out in the tongues, and somebody rang the police. So the police happened, the lady and the chap happened to come along, and the lady was fellowshipped at the Assembly of God, the AAG in Nelson. He said, John said that person, we prayed for him, and that joker came through the law through the complaining. So today, and went out to Ashurst when I moved up to Palmerston North with my sister, looking around. Oh, there's a house here. Debbie, Blue's daughter, said, there's a house here on the corner. So I went out and had a look around and walked around it. She says, I know what you're up to. You're going to play for, you're paying for that house, aren't you? Then the landlord said, well, it's 9 and 10 ahead of you. So we got on the phone number. Debbie knew our phone number at the Crew Crescent. The phone went, where do you want to move in? So thank you very much. So if anybody wants to, somebody here later on after this meeting with our leaders here, if somebody has got something that back caught right down the corner of their back, I don't know what it is, but it's something there. They've been to the doctors, get it all checked out, they don't know what it is. But later on the leaders here will pray for that person. It's got something right down the skin of their back, right down here. So it's something there, so the leaders here will pray for you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill. Bless you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Just I want to really encourage this gentleman over here who brought that word earlier. Time and time again, our church has brought through words that the glory of the Lord is going to come on New Zealand, and it'll be different, so different. It will not be like the American revival, which is going on now in Florida. It'll be so different. And I just want to reinforce that, and I'm just really encouraged by what Graham said, that he's a worker, and all of us men have this problem of working too much and not spending time with the Lord. And I remember what Joyce Meyer said. I'm a great believer in Joyce, and she said, you know, we're not called to be great achievers, we're called to be great believers. And one of the things that's come through time and time again in our churches is intimacy with Jesus. Everything sparks some intimacy, and if you can get the intimacy, then everything else will come out of that.
Praise God, thanks for that.
This is my first time I've ever had a go at doing a testimony, but I've been blind all my life. And, well, I should have started at the beginning, I suppose, shouldn't I? Well, I was blind at the first start, so I didn't see what things looked like. I had to imagine. Then I found out all this when I was around about 58 years old. I knew nothing before then what actually happened to my body or anything till I was 58 years old. But I knew God was there. I've got a ring on my finger from my foster mother and father. I've a pattern. I've still got the belt. It'll go on my head as a headband now. That's how big I must have been when I got it. And she promised me when I was adopted out, back into the family, she promised me when I hit 65, she'd give me a ring. Well, that ring has got the same meanings as what that belt was when I was about 3 years old. And I've got a pullover the same. And it's not. It's about 62 years old, both of them. Well, I couldn't run at school. I couldn't go to school till I was about 10 years old or 9 years old, because I was a fluent Maori Pākehā boy, talking. The teacher didn't know whether I was swearing or whatever. So I wasn't allowed to go to school. Well, I thought that was good because I could get used to all my little pets at home on the farm. And then I got going to school and I wondered why I couldn't run. And I wondered and sort of going on. And when I hit 58, I had a truck accident down in Christchurch. I got hit with a big 18-wheeler. The dog and I got hit. We were standing waiting to cross the road. We got hit, and that's when they found out, when they x-rayed. She was a Christian lady. I've run into quite a few Christian people. She said, "Do you want me to be honest with you, Alan?" I said, "Yes." I said, "About time someone was honest." She said, "Looking at your body from the 12th vertebrae down, it's a wonder you're not in a wheelchair. You should have been in a wheelchair at 10 years old." Then I went to the doctor with a pain that I could feel. I could pinpoint it. He said, "Oh, you should have been in a wheelchair." I said, "And I made out I didn't hear him." And I said, "Oh, what did you say?" "He said, 'Oh, you should have been in a wheelchair.'" I said, "Well, you're the second person that's told me that. I've had three people tell me I should have been in a wheelchair. Different ones. And I found out the last one, they said, through that truck accident, that they worked out, they looked evenly through, I was brutally assaulted when I was about 2 years old. And I can remember how I got the one on the spine. I was hit with a 2-inch piece of galvanised pipe across the back because I didn't do something. Just even though I was 2 years old, I can remember it. I have nightmares of it. And I can remember it. And I know who the person is, but he's dead, so I let that go. But now, God has, well, I've become a Lord in the Levin chapter. I joined up with them in 1986. I was only a greenhorn at the time. I went to camp the following year on the 6th of March and give my heart to the Lord. No, it would be 87 I give my heart to the Lord, that's right. And 88 they wanted me to get baptised and all that. And I just, me being a greenhorn at the time, I just said, "No, God will do me where I'm. If he thinks I'm ready, he'll do me where I am." Well, God did. I got this funny feeling. And since then, I've known, well, I class God as my boss. But now, so the late will be what, about the last 3 months. Well, I've had eye operations on my eyes. I've had laser. That's about 8 years ago. Well, the last 18 months, they've improved enough that I can see moving objects. And the bloke that was here, well, not very long ago, he's from Liverpool, John something, his name was. Well, he, well, one of his offsiders, as I call it, he started praying for me. I didn't know what he was doing. He was behind me one part of it, and someone says, "You know, he's standing up on a chair and looking down at you." And I thought, "Oh, God, is he not going to jump on my shoulders, is he?" And he started praying for me. He did it 6 times. The first time I was wondering what he was up to because he just rubbed his hands down over my shoulders and down my hips and legs and round my ankles and then back started up the top again. Well, I stood up. And where the growth is, I got a sharp pain and I've had it my legs, hips, nothing. I've got no pain at all. And the only one I listen to is the man upstairs. He's my boss. I don't care about anyone else. But I wanted to say that because, you know, to me, I might, at my tender young age, it feels nice to be able to see something after all those years. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I was sitting here thinking, Linda, it'd be good if we could pray for Alan, just pray a blessing upon him. Because I know something of the background that he talks about, having no one to affirm us and to bless us. And we as a group of men here, Alan, would like to pray for you now and just pray a blessing upon you.
Yes, you're welcome.
Lynn?
You're welcome.
And the dog as well.
Oh, well, you're part of the family.
That's right.
I think what I'd like to do, guys, there's a difference, and I'll teach you later this weekend, there's a difference between a closed-eye blessing that we know is prayer, on a closed eye blessing, we speak to the person for God. It's called intercession. We all know that and do it, and it's very valid. It's throughout the Word of God. And Linda and I are not here to exhort you in that, because you know how to pray for people and talk to God for people. Okay? But what he did 10 years ago is surprised us and said, I'll send you around the globe and I will teach you a new kind of blessing, and we now call it the opened eye blessing, where we speak to people for God. We don't speak to God for people in intercession. We speak to a person for God. Now, the intimacy, I like that. That is a call to intimacy. Who said that a while ago? Because you can't speak for God unless you walk with him. And that's actually, God has set the opened eye blessing in the church to teach us to prophesy. Paul said, you know, all the gifts are wonderful and you ought to seek those, but you ought to particularly seek the gift of prophecy. Well, we discovered a few years ago that as you begin to bless someone and speak for God, you will almost always trip over into prophecy. So, Alan, many people have prayed for you, and they'll continue to do that, because that prayer, those prayers, have brought you to where you are and sustained you. And I affirm, as people have talked to Father God for you, you have been strengthened, and through their prayers, you have received great help and strength. But what I want to do today, I want to give you an opened eye blessing. You've never had that. But I want to say, the Lord says to you, my son, even when you were 2 years old, I knew you, and I have taken what was bad, and I am making it good. And yes, indeed, son, I say to you that you see many things that others do not see. You hear things that others do not hear. And in the days ahead, Alan, my blessing for you is that you will begin to see, not only in the spirit world, but you will begin to see with discernment about people around you. And the Lord will begin to use your voice to speak hope and encouragement, and indeed blessings from him through your voice into people's lives. The enemy has set traps to kill you. But greater is he that is in you than the enemy in the world. In the days ahead, my brother, the power of God will move in you in new ways, causing you to say and do new things that will bring hope and peace to many. I get particularly some young men. Some young men. That's good, Lord. And there'll be children that will stop and want to pet your dog. What's his name?
Brooke. Yeah, he gets plenty of that now.
Oh, Brooke. Yeah. Brooke, it looks like you got a minister coming up too, son. But as they stop and pet your dog, the Lord will give you a blessing for that child. And you will see into their lives and speak a few words of blessing. And children whose father has never blessed them, you will speak a papa's blessing into those children. And son, your walk with the Lord A year from now, you'll look back and be amazed.
And then I'll turn around and think, now, who was that man that said that?
No one cares a bit about that. Amen. So that's my blessing, yeah, is that you will begin to walk. The word is Canaan land. You'll begin to walk in Canaan land.
You just said something about talking to children. My son, he died of leukemia when he was 40 and a half. He was at a special school at Christchurch. And there's one little boy there I felt very sorry for. He'd automatically wet himself. He didn't know he was doing it. Right. And my son turned around and said, I'll help you. So Eddie helped him. Well, when at the funeral I had to, he wanted to come along and let the balloons off, because I had my daughter's one, my wife's one, and my one. And he wanted one. He said, can I tie it with your ones? So we tied it all together, and they had tree seeds, native tree seeds with them and that. And the assembly after that meeting, he says, Mr. Chesham, I'm a good boy. And I said, why? He said, I don't wet myself now. And I felt like giving him a hug. And the headmaster there says, oh, we're not allowed to. And I said, well, how do those children know whether they've did good or bad if you don't give them a hug or praise them? Amen. And that's over 13 years ago.
And what the Lord is saying to you, son, is that he's moving you into the ministry of blessing so that you will give a papa's blessing. Mm. A papa's blessing to children that are drawn to you to, they think, to pet your dog. But it's to receive, it's to receive a papa's blessing.
Hi, my name's Barry Dronken, and this is the first time I've been to a convention since the Auckland one. In 2006, we were going to go to the convention in Hamilton, but I retired in 2005, and my wife had a bout of depression and anxiety. And I was a caretaker at Frimley School in Hastings, and she used to help me, but before I retired, she had to give up work due to her depression. So I retired, and I ended up having to do all the housework, cook the meals, you name it, I did it. She had to stay in bed. She just couldn't get her head off the pillow. And then we went to a psychiatrist, and she gave her some pills to take, and all they did was give her a headache, so they were the wrong sort. So then you had to detox to try some other pills. This went on and on and on. So we never got to the convention. And that was a convention that Craig Marsh was at. And Trevor Tilliard, who's with me at the moment, Trevor and his wife went to that convention, and Craig was having some prayer cloths there. And so they brought one of those home. Well, I can tell you that week of convention, my wife was really had anxiety attacks. So Trevor gave me the cloth. We put it under the pillow that night. Next morning she got up. She's as good as gold. She's been all right ever since. She got up, started cooking, and that was it. She's never been, she's here at this convention, and she's been fit as a fiddle ever since. And I just give the Lord the praise and the glory, because he can do anything. We went back to the psychiatrist, and she said, took one look at Janice and said, what's happened? So we told her. And she said, well, you've been healed by the Lord, but you'll still have to take these pills until I tell you to stop taking them. And she's at the moment, she's gradually coming off them. So praise God.
Come on, Barry. Good. There are a lot of things going on amongst our men in the marketplace that we didn't know about. There's a lot of hard times, a lot of difficulties. And that's one of the really important things about gathering together like this is, because we encourage one another, we pray for one another, we build one another up. Herb.
Thank you. I would just like to report on
our chapter meeting on Monday night at Manukau Gardens. We had Bill Sabritsky there, and we had something like about 110 people, which was really good, and predominantly the crowd was all Indians. So that was exciting. A new chapter full of Indian people, full of demons and full of, you know, the love of the Lord. So you had extremes within the congregation of the people there. And Bill released the authority of God that he carries, and many people's lives were touched. And after the meeting, some of us were invited around to Diva's home. And so I was one of them, and we went round there. And there was seven of us, I think it was. There was a pastor and his wife. And this lady I'm talking about, I think, was their guest. And she was a Sikh. And she's a widow. And she didn't know Jesus. And it was just lovely to sit down, have a cup of coffee, and an anointing came over us, or over me, and I was able just to say to her, you know, Jesus loves you so much. And then the Lord showed me that in my hands, I put them together like this, and I said, in my hands is eternal life. And I walked over to her and I said to her, in the name of Jesus, what do you want to do with this gift of eternal life? I've never done this before. It was just a new way God just did it. So I'm standing in front of this lady who's sitting down and saying, I have eternal life in my hand, which is from Jesus Christ. What do you want to do with it? And of course, being a Sikh, all she wanted to do was to bow into my hands and kiss my hands. You know what they do? Reverence. And I said, oh, no. This is not about that at all. It's about receiving eternal life because this gift is for you. What do you want to do with it? And she said, I'll receive it. So there, after the meeting, this lady who is a Sikh gave her heart and life to Jesus Christ, and it was exciting.
Good stuff, Herb. Good stuff. I'm Keith Winstone from Gisborne Chapter. To be honest, I don't actually know quite why I'm standing here, except the Lord has told me I've got to come. And I believe that what he's saying is he wants me to share. When I first became baptised in the Holy Spirit, my wife was totally anti-Christian, and I never used to go to church. And the Lord used to talk to me at home quite a bit. And over a period of... this is about 1981 or 80, might have even been 1980. He started to tell me what lay ahead for New Zealand and the plans that he had for this nation. And what he said is that this nation is going to become the first totally Christian nation there has ever been in the world, and that we are going to see this come to pass. It will not come to pass through the church per se. It will come to pass through people like you and me, through home churches. The expansion is going to take place in this nation. It's going to be little groups. And he is setting up leaders of tens, leaders of fifties, leaders of hundreds, leaders of thousands, leaders of 10,000, so that you will have a group of home churches and an overseer. And then you'll have an overseer over those overseers. You'll have prophets and apostles over the whole nation who will keep the whole show on the road. It's going to be a move of the lay people. He said there's not enough churches and halls in the nation to take the numbers of people that are coming to Christ. He told me that I will see 500,000 people gathered together in Browns Bay to worship God. And these things are going to come to pass, and we are the ones that are going to do it. Now, what he did say was that he was, and this was, don't forget, 1980, he said, I'm going to pare my people down. He said, I can only give the power to those who have proved faithful and who have waited for me. He said, there are many who are willing to rush ahead and go off on their own strength. But he said, it's those faithful few that wait patiently and do as I tell them and do no more nor no less that will get the power that I'm going to pour out upon you in this day. And I sincerely believe that the time has come now for this to actually start to come to pass. He said it's going to take 3 years. He said the first year will be the thing gaining momentum. He said the second year will be the year of persecution. You will have tremendous persecution rise up against us in this nation. People will die in New Zealand through persecution. We think it is only overseas, but it is going to come to pass in this nation. And in the third year, he said, all of a sudden, you'll realise that the victory has been won, because it will happen that fast. And I believe that we are going to take a part in this.
Thanks, Keith. Good stuff.
Mike?
Praise God. Just while I was sitting here, I was just thinking too, just sensing in my spirit, that I believe someone here has got a word for somebody else in this gathering. So if you've just been sitting there and that just been permeating through your spirit, feel free to come up and bring that for that person. Mike?
Thanks, Graham. Mike Bunt from Dunedin. It's ironic that Keith just stood up then, because a number of years ago it was in this very complex. I was sitting next to Keith at a breakfast, and many of you will know George Bradfield. He was sitting next to me as well, and I was sitting next to Keith, and Keith started to prophesy. And he started to prophesy there was a battle coming, and I believe what you've just shared there is part of what we spoke about. That's about 10 years ago when Dave Smethurst was here. And he spoke about a battle was going on, and I was sitting there thinking, oh, listening to him. And then the Lord showed me a picture of the Word, and the Word was open. And the interesting thing that happened there was Keith finished, and I knew that I'd opened my mouth. And I opened my mouth and said, the battle and the weapon we'd use is God's Word. It's God's Word. It's a spiritual battle. And that's the battle you're talking about, Keith. And then I finished. Then George started. It was like Huey, Dewey and Louie. Okay, and I thought, is it going to go right around the table? But it didn't stop there. And what George said, it's the Word, but it's the anointing on the Word. Because when we speak it, if we speak it ourselves, but when God's anointing on it, that's when it's powerful and pulling down the strongholds. And I've been praying the last few weeks. The Lord gave me Psalm 40 to pray for the fellowship. And it's the first 8 verses of Psalm 40. And part of it in there, it talks about if we were to write down all the things that God has done amongst all of us men here, we wouldn't be able to, it would take us weeks to recount all the great things that God has done for us, if we were able to do that. But then just yesterday, and I thought it was just for me, but I was praying that again yesterday, and he said, remind me about the Lord of the harvest. And I thought, oh, okay. So I wasn't too sure where it was, so I looked up my concordance, and it's in Matthew. Many of you all know where it is, Matthew 9:37, I think it is. I'll just read it. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Not only are they few, they're getting more grey-haired here. But this is a key. He said, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And I've got a study Bible, and I looked at the study notes under the my reading there, and this is what it said. One of God's spiritual principles before he acts, he usually calls his people to pray or to prayer, and I believe that's what we have to do. Really have to get on our hands and knees and really call out to God and pray for those people to come in and to be used out in that harvest field. And okay, we're not as young as we used to. We need those young ones, but it's until we get serious and pray and intercede, that's when he'll act.
Thank you, Mike. Yes, there is a few grey-haired folk around here, but I don't know about you, but I'm actually Mercedes Silver. Yeah, a lot of people believe they're getting old, and I found that a lot of people say, oh, I'm grey-haired and so on, and you know, you speak the word of Scripture, that the Scripture's got the answers, changes things. So I get up in the morning and I look in the mirror, and the word says, as a man thinks, so he is. And I look in the mirror and I say, Graham, you are gorgeous, you are good-looking, you're built like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It works, look. So there you are. So just speak the word of God and you'll be right. Mike.
They say that flattery is all right as long as you don't inhale. Thank you, Brian. Thanks, Arnold. Many of you know that I was born in South Africa. I've come full cycle as well because my father was born in a little place called Havelock on the South Island in New Zealand. And in 1908, he went to South Africa. I'll be talking more about that in my testimony at the testimony breakfast, so I won't give that to you now. But just something that the Lord just laid upon my heart, and I think what Graham has just said now endorses that what I just need to say, just by way of a little word of exhortation, is that in Jeremiah chapter 15, it says that thy words, let me just read that, Jeremiah 15 and verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. You become what you eat. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You know, there's power in the word of God, and Graham was saying it, and I think it's just right that I just add to what he was saying there. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We are made in the image of God. When God wanted to make the earth, the heavens and the earth, all he did, the Bible says, and he spake, and it was done. Let there be light, and there was light. So God's word was creative, and we are made in the image of God. Our words are creative as well. And death and life are in the power of the tongue. I do a lot of counseling. I counsel people, marriage problems, etc. And often I say to them, what do you see? What do you see? And this lady is hurting, she's frustrated, her marriage is falling apart at the seams, whatever. She says, I see a black dot on a piece of paper. I said, all right. Noel, just hold that up. Ask me what I see. I see Noel sitting on a seat with a piece of white paper in his hand with a black dot in the middle. That's what I see. You see, I say to them, I said, now listen, don't keep focusing on the black dot. Your words are creative. Now listen to me, I want to say this, and I want you to hear it, and I want it to sink in. The word of God in your mouth is just as powerful as the word of God in his mouth. Now let that permeate. Let it just percolate through your mind. The word of God in your mouth is just as powerful as the word of God in his mouth. So as you speak out the word, as our brother was praying over here, praying blessing, I believe that. We speak out the word. When you pray, pray out the word. Lord, in your word you said, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. Lord, you said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I believe that, Lord. I speak out your word because no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against me, I come against this in the name of the Lord. I speak out your word. Your words are creative. And in that death and life are in the power of the tongue, it says this here. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I never understood this, but I think I'm beginning to grasp it. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And I thought, now what does that mean? I believe it means a positive and a negative. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. If you speak out negativity all the time, you will eat its fruit. And you become a bitter, frustrated old man. Not like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You'll be worse than that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So this weekend, this conference, let us start speaking out the word of God. Get up in the morning like Graham says, say thank you, praise God. Not so much that he's such a handsome looking bloke, but Lord, I praise you. Lord, I want to say glory to God. How are you? Now you try this out and you'll see it works every time. You go to the average Christian and to the average person in the world and say, hi, brother, how are you doing? What's the word? Not so bad. I tell you, 90% of the time, Christians are not so bad. No. You go to some, say, man, I got a headache, but you know what? I'm praising God. I'm catching my healing. Praise God. I know because the Bible says through His stripes I'm healed. And I'm going to speak blessings into my life. I speak blessings into your life. I speak even blessings into this little dog. Bless him in the name of Jesus. Let him just guide and be a great blessing. Look, he's getting anointed. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that's my word for you. The word of God in your mouth is just as powerful as the word of God in his mouth. And you go on your way and quote the scriptures. Quote the word of God. Say, yes, Lord, I believe that. I'm going to speak that into being and I'm going to believe it. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Mike. Berlin. I remember we used to have a guy from Australia, Chris Gabbert, had a prophetic ministry. And he used to come to Nape probably 10 or 15 years ago, but he always used to get up the front and said, you've got to get rid of the stinking thinking and get a check up from the neck up. Well, it would start speaking some positive things.
Hello, Mr. Barr, from the Chatham Islands. This is the mayor of the Chatham Islands.
Chatham Islands.
Many Christians use this word lucky. There's no luck in God.
No,
we have blessed God. Yeah. We need to think about how we speak and what we're saying. When we talk about luck, we're in the realm of Satan. Yeah. Get out of it. Yeah. And get in the word of God. Yeah. We're blessed people. Yeah. Lucky people.
Praise the Lord.
Good stuff, eh? Good stuff. So, I wasn't going to say the thing, but seeing that what has happened now, I dream, I think, every night. I don't know about you, but I never can remember what I dream. But the one or two dreams that I did remember are significant. And the one, just a few weeks ago, I dreamt that I was in a gathering of all important people, you know, of the city, whatever it was. There was professional people there. There were doctors, there were lawyers, there were even lawyers were there too. Then all of a sudden the MC came up to me and he said, I want you to say a prayer. So I said, well, I was very surprised because I didn't know very interested in it. So I sat there before I came on and I said, well, I'll pray a blessing on him and a blessing on them and I'll say this and I'll say that. And so they called me up and I stood there and all of a sudden I spoke the Lord's Prayer very clearly and very strongly. And then I sat down and all clapped and things like that. Now, I said, Lord, what does it mean? Well, my interpretation is that whatever we say, whatever we do, must be on the Word of God. Nothing else. We can pray a nice blessing and all these sort of things, but that's not, and that's the Word of God that's important in your mouth. The Word of God in your mouth is like fire, you know. So, just to add to what's been said before, the Word of God is our guide at all times.
Very important to speak positive words. I got a great guy who's my factory manager at work, and he's been with me about 12 or 13 years now. When he first came, he had this slightly off sense of humour. And, for instance, one of the guys would buy a new car, and they'd go out and say, man, you got a new car, we must be paying you too much. Just joking. And I noticed this after a little while that they're all negative jokes. And I said to him, why don't you say, hey, you've got a new car, good on you. You've done a great job, you've earned that, you deserve that. He said, oh, look, they all know me and my sense of humour. I said, yeah, but they're all negative jokes. I said, put it to the positive. And he's done that. He changed very quickly within a month, and they're positive jokes. And, you know, it builds people up. It can be a joke with a twist to it, with a barb, and that's not good. And he was not meaning harm, but it became a habit. Speak words of life.
Yeah, Graham was saying someone has got a word for somebody. I was laying on my bed before I got here this morning after. And all I got was, he's not in a good state. And I just took it, whether is it spiritually or you know, health-wise. And all I got, he mightn't be here yet. His name's Peter. Is there any Peters here? So there's two Peters. So that's all I got. So I thought, I'm going to be obedient. I don't usually get this off and on. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And he said, he's not in a good state. And I said, what is it, Lord? And he didn't reveal it to me. So I thought, I'll be obedient and I'll bring it. But while I'm there, I could do some prayer too, because I've got a problem with sleep, acne, my graph goes up and down, and I stop breathing for 20 minutes in a period. And after 18 months, nearly 2 years, I'm finally on a machine and I don't like it. So I don't believe I need to have it. I've got to put this thing on at night. They gave me another machine that doesn't make much noise, but all the noise is up here with a mask over your face. So God is greater than those things. We just thank you for doctors and whatever he's given them to us. But yeah, right.
Just get a couple of eyes up here.
But don't forget Peter. See some of the leaders.
If there's someone here by the name of Peter and you feel that's you, we'd love to pray with you. Peter, come on up, Peter. We'll pray for you as well. Any guys that want to come up and pray, just come up and pray. Guys, this is great. This is what we're about. It's the body of Christ. We'll pray for John, and then we'll pray for Peter.
As you know, if you see that, but they tell me the worst thing is you can't die from it. And,
yeah.
No, I've got a little bit of living to do yet.
And then, well, I had a rough night last night.
Yeah?
Yeah. I was going both ends. I was really crook. I never slept all night. So I actually, to be honest, I went down and I had someone told me I'd take a rum and brandy and green ginger. So I doxed that down. I feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
But the tummy was just, it can't even touch it now. Not so bad.
Good. Okay.
Could you just share with John just before we pray for him? I've got sleep apnea too, and I've had it for a number of years, and I have that same machine. And as I toured around the North Island at the end of last year, I felt to bring that, and there were several people came forward with respiratory issues that were prayed for. God touched some and didn't touch others, and but we know that God can do all things.
Yeah, it's good to get back in the bedroom. I'm in another room. Snore too much. Yeah, thanks.
Father God, we give you thanks and praise, Lord. We thank you for John, Father, and Lord, we just bring this condition before you today, Father God. Lord, we thank you that he's been able to get up and share that with us, Father God. So, Lord, we just come against that condition now in Jesus' name. Father, we know that it's not of you, Father God, and we pray, Lord, just for your release to come now, Father God. Father, I pray, Lord, that those muscles in the back of his throat, Father, that just relax and close over. I just pray, Father, that you bring the strength back into there, Father God. I pray, Lord, that you'll just open up those passages, Father God, and, Lord, that you'll be able to rest deeply and peacefully, Father God, without stopping breathing, Father.
Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Father, we release creative words into you. John, right now, you speak to the disorder in his body right now in the name of Jesus, and we command it to come into order now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, Father, that your spirit will go right to the root of this problem. And if there's any curse, we ask, Father, that you would sever that curse right now in the name of Jesus, that the blood of the Lamb will go right to the root, and, Lord, the anointing will break the yoke in the name of Jesus. So come out in the name of Jesus. Disorder, infirmity, sickness, fear, go in the name of Jesus. And we release the creative word of Jesus Christ into John's body right now. And we thank you in anticipation of what is happening now. We speak wholeness, completeness in the name of Jesus. That your word will travel through him. Shalamana meshikiatara mako sarabatakadi shlamaya. Sotoliama shandarabatakadi elabatakadi bedarbarachana. Rakore rashalamana manishila. Father, I speak to the locusts. I command you to restore. I command you to go. And we speak restoration in the name of Jesus over the years that those locusts have taken. I speak it now, Lord. I thank you for that word right now, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Rise up, John, in the name of Jesus Christ, and be whole.
Yes, Spirit of life
in Christ Jesus completely destroys the spirit of death and breaks the yoke of the enemy. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will free you and sustain you and uphold you and direct you and motivate you. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will perfect his will and purpose in you. For that which I have begun, saith the Lord, I will complete. And you shall know and you shall speak with authority and power the glories of my name and the power of the risen Christ, because I speak life into you, saith the Lord. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
But I'm getting this thing that we need to just
the Spirit of God is the, in the Hebrew, the Ruach Yahweh, the breath and wind of God. We need to gather and just blow. The issue is breathing. We need to blow the breath of God onto His face. Let's just do that.
Let the ruined wind of God blow. Receive the wind of God. Amen. Satama shanna banaka nishikana nishikana banaka nishikana. Soku shabba papa shimine kere banaya fatiku shala banaya nishikana nishikana.
Thank God. Glory be to God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Good. Peter.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He's drunk.
See you later. Don't go away. Stay here. Got to pray for Peter. Lord, just minister to John there. Just stay there and just soak it up. Praise God. Lord, pray for Peter. Yeah, it's health problems, isn't it? Anything else?
Yes, health problems. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, you've had a bit of a run over the last few years.
Yes, I've had a pretty hard run.
Yeah. Right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Call up a shunder. Lord, we want to stand with Peter. Lord, we want to support this man of God. Lord, first in a spiritual sense, we stand with him because we know that when the body gets attacked and gets tired, also in the spirit realm it happens as well, we're weighed down. So we speak into the spirit realm and we speak life, we speak health, we speak abundance in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we speak to this body in Jesus' name and ask that you would just put into place everything that is not in order, Lord, that your blessing and your anointing would be upon Peter, Lord, that where the enemy has brought discomfort and ill health, that your spirit would bring life and health and blessing in Jesus' name. We speak it now in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. More of your presence, Lord. More of your presence.
Do really touch him now, Lord. Strapping him now, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All the warmth coming through. All beautiful, brother. All beautiful, brother. That's beautiful, beautiful. Touch him now, Lord. What through? Cleans what's going on through his body, Lord. So we touch him now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Here, let it out, let it out, let it out, let it out. Out, out, out. Thank you, Lord. Out. Thank you, Lord. Out, out, out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All coming through. Out, out, out. Let it out, let it out, let it out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Out, out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Out. Thank you, Lord. Out. Out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Leave now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Father, Peter, the word says that you're not redeemed by the corruptible things of silver and gold, but by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We release that blood now into Peter's life, that as your blood touches his blood, healing and wholeness will start taking place.
Amen. Yes,
and that
Lord.
The presence of your your presence in his body will drive out any sickness and infirmity in the name of Jesus. And Peter, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of that state that prophetic word said. Come out of that state
and come into the position where you are on a solid rock. His name is Jesus. In the name of Jesus, behold, behold, in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He is redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Pass the old things pass away when we're in Christ, and behold, the new comes. You are in Christ. Is that correct? You're in Christ. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has to go now. It goes now. The old heart condition, it goes. The sickness, any disease, goes in the name of Jesus, because we release the power of the blood of the Lamb over Peter's life now, and is made whole. That's what you did on the cross, and oh, we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that word. Thank you for the word.
I believe the Lord is saying that there's a burden you've been carrying for many, many years, and it relates from about when you're about 20, I believe. And I just ask in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that you lay this burden down now. I ask that the Lord would reveal this burden to you so that you can lay it down and that you can move freely from this. In Jesus' name, we just ask for a total release of that burden at this time, that it would be left lying on the floor and that Peter would rise up without it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. The word says, cast all your cares, Peter, upon the Lord, for he cares for you. So he's not unmindful of what that prophetic word has just been given. He's not unmindful of your situation. Now let it out. Let it out. Let it out, brother. Thank you, Jesus. Do you have to forgive? Forgive. Receive it. The right power of God.
Just rest in the Lord.
Yeah.
Good man, Peter. Good man. Where's Mr. Barr?
I'm right here, sir.
This man now is residing in the Chatham Islands. He started a ministry over there called Save Our Crayfish.
And fish.
He's the Prime Minister of the Chatham Islands.
Is this because of my new one there?
Praise God. We'll pray for you, Colin, for your health.
Yeah. Can I just share a little bit?
Can do.
Listen, just as I was coming up, last night I went to bed, I was okay, and I woke up, I only slept about an hour, and there's terrible pains in my stomach. And it just went on and on and on, and I was sick as a dog. And all through the night, I hardly had any sleep. I think the first hour I got to sleep, I'd doze off and I'd just wake up, the pains were just terrible. Now, I've had tummy bugs before, but nothing like this. Whether we had pork last night, whether it was something in the pork, I don't know what it was. But I tell you what, I've never been as ill as I was. And driving down here today, I just run to stop a couple of times. I nearly did stop. I was sick. Still felt terrible, you know. I was sort of floating. And I got here and I said to Ellie, look, we'll go to the motel, King's Motel. I'll get in, I'll sleep, and I'll have a good sleep until lunchtime because I haven't slept much last night. And we get into come to the reception, ask for the rooms, and they said, they won't be ready till 2 o'clock this afternoon. So I thought, well, give us a port and the what so forth, and green ginger, and I'm coming. So that's why I'm here. And actually, I do feel a little bit better. But I love to pray for, because I think there was a word of God when someone said you came, and I did have a terrible night last night. And I think God wants to pray for me.
Come on, guys, get a few fellows up here around Colin. Good man. Step up here.
You know what the problem is, don't you? Too many crayfish and oysters.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Bless Colin.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus. Say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, just bless and touch Colin, Lord. You know the infirmity in his body. Lord, you know exactly what needs to be done. So we say, come, Holy Spirit, bring your healing hands upon him, we pray. Touch him now in Jesus' name. All of your presence, Lord. All of your presence. Kutabashanda, Shadabashanda, Shandabakunda, Kadabayanda, Kandabashanda.
healing now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Shadaba Shanda.
We anoint him now in the name of the Father, of the Holy Spirit. With all this day, Lord, we mind it to be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Touch him now, Lord. Touch him now. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful breeze coming for you, brother. So I do really want to pray for you now and clear all that, and so I can get him a really good night. Give him a really good rest for this evening, Lord, and through the weekend, Lord. So pray for him now, Lord. Give him a really good encouragement, Lord. So really touch him now, Lord. All beautiful breezes coming through. I know it's sunny out there. So really beautiful coming through. Oh, where it comes, here it comes, here it comes. Beautiful, beautiful. So anoint Colin now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Make it to be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for prayer. And I just want to say that I was sitting there while that gentleman from, I think it's Gisborne, is it, was talking about prophecy. And I was wondering whether I should go out and tell you that there has been a minister, Bruce Judd, in Otorohanga, who's our minister, and he has a brother-in-law. Now, this is something that is pertaining to what he was what was being talked about this morning, and he's had a vision, and this vision is absolutely fits in with this prophecy. I just want to tell you about it. And the vision is of a change in government. And it's going to happen. And the people are going to come out in mobs around the country. They'll be in groups, individual groups, little groups. And that's what this gentleman is talking about. Individual groups. And these groups are going to be out of control of any government. They're going to be solely directed by the Lord. And this is going to happen, start to happen later this year. And it's going to be remarkable. And this guy is not a Christian in the sense that he's not a full gospel guy. He's not related in any way to information that he's been getting. It is something that's just come to him, and he's given it out, and I have it back home. I meant to get it here today. And to me, the way it was given was, he's frightened of giving it out to anybody. He's just an ordinary guy, and he has no religious sort of undertaking or background. And he's frightened to give it. He has since had another one, another vision. So all this pertains, I think, to what is going to happen from the gentleman, Gisborne. It fits in totally. And it's going to be a remarkable thing. It's the start of being a nation reclaimed marvellously by the Lord. Thank you.
Be encouraged, Keith, with your prophetic gifting. You know, it's great. You hear people giving prophecies, and then someone comes along and says they confirm it. So be encouraged. Just keep that strong flow going.
The Lord actually said to me I would get much confirmation this weekend. So that is good. There will actually be two types of mobs. There will be Christians in groups, and there will be mobs purely on destruction. I don't know if you remember, there was that big battle in Auckland some years ago. They had this, thank God it's over, party or something, and they went down through Queen Street and smashed all the windows. Well, the Lord said that there would be mobs doing the same thing, and that Christians would stand up and stop them in their tracks. But he said there will also be other times when you just have to stand by and watch it happen.
Can
Good morning, guys. Colin, I really believe God's saying to you, this is your conference.
My what?
Your conference. No, it's your time to receive an impartation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
I really, just as you were standing here just talking to Graham, I really sense that God is saying to you, this is your time. Mm. God wants to refill the cup till it's absolutely overflowing. Mm. But it's an impartation. Not of me or full gospel, it's an impartation from God. I thank you, Father, for Colin Barr right now. Father, we just release this impartation into him right now. There it is. Father, we thank you that from his innermost being, you'll just begin to release the wells of Isaac, Lord. Just begin to pull out the rocks and the stones, Father. And Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that your wonderful love will just begin to flow like never before. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this impartation that comes from you, Lord God. We thank you right now that the hope and glory in Christ Jesus will begin to manifest in this man. Father, when he returns to the Chathams, they'll see the lighthouse of glory. Not Colin Barr, Lord, but the lighthouse of glory. Shekinah glory, Christ in him released through this impartation. There are many words this week that I will speak to you, the Lord is saying, from many people, but you will receive an awesome impartation from God.
Just while he's getting that ready, I'll just give you a little update to where I am in the Chatham Islands. In the Chatham Islands, I've been called in, asked to go there many times by a Christian friend, because there is a Catholic church there, there's an England church, and a Christiana church, and they're all closed except the Anglican one. And they only used to have about six or seven. And I knew I was going into very dry land and bringing Christianity into this place, because I'm out at what they call Kairangaroa, and it's just a fishing village, and they swear all day. I'm not kidding. The F word and safe words all day. And you have to be on your guard to make sure that you do not slip, because that's going in my eardrums all day. But praise God, I can blink it off, and I blink it off, because if we want to be the light for Christ, we have to be different. And I've been going to the Little England Church to support it, and I'm the only man there except Rewai, the minister. There's mostly just five or six women there. And the first time I went there, Rewai said to me, I think Colin might have something to say. Well, that's been happening every Sunday since I've been going there. So now I've been preparing myself. And the last message before I came away is what Graham's going to read. Unfortunately, rushing in here, I've left my Bible behind, my glasses behind, I haven't got anything. So he's going to read. I just want to share a little bit about what John 15 says here and about the fruits, because it's important. And I see a link between our full gospel and what Jesus Christ is saying here. And I'm going to mention that, but let's let Graham just read this out to you first. Just to 10 or 11, I think it is.
That's it, yep. I am the vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples.
Amen. Hallelujah. And what are we in the full gospel? Disciples. Right. Now, number one, I think I'm not here to criticize. You know, I'm a nobody. Jesus used a donkey, so he uses me as well, I suppose. But the point is this: you can't deteriorate from the word. The word is the word of God to my heart. Keep it simple. Just take it as is written. And I think we complicate things and just take it simply as it's written. And that's pretty it explains it very well there, that we have to stay in the vine. If we don't stay in the vine, we're disconnected. And Jesus said, we'll wither up. And we're no good for anything. Now, what is the vine? To me, is the Word of God. That's how we stay connected to God. If we're not in the Word of God, we're not connected with God. And John said, my sheep hear my voice. You remember that? That came in, I think, Hamilton, Auckland, somewhere, my sheep hear my voice, wherever it was. How can you hear the voice of God if you're not in the Word of God? And I looked at, and God was saying, not in my life, but all of our lives today, we're gunners. We're all going to do this. We're going to do that. We have great ideas, but we don't seem to do. Now, the full gospel is no exception. We're disobedient. We're disobedient to the leaders. We're disobedient to our chapter members. In a lot of cases, we're asked to ring when dinners are coming. We don't ring. We're asked to make contact when we have conventions. We leave it to the last minute. We're not honoring God. We're not being connected as God has asked us to be connected. And I believe we need to... I just pray that your ears be open to receive. Yeah, to receive the things that God wants us to receive. To be connected to God, because that is your armor. That is your shield. This is where you'll do things. When you pray to God and you ask God, and God says, I will answer your prayers. Now, I look at it quickly and simply, you've got to knock off. But if you have a child and he's naughty, do you give him good gifts? No. Why would God give you good gifts if you're not in the Word of God and doing the things that God has called us to do? I don't believe in... You know, we blame God for too many things. We need to blame ourselves and look at ourselves and examine ourselves. And where are we in God? Where are we in God? And if you want to bring glory to God, then and fulfill your calling, whatever you're called to do, do it to your best ability. Don't make excuses. Or so everyone else, just to your best ability, as you know how. So I'm going to leave it with that. You can think about that. I could go into a lot of depth in this. But I just pray that God will touch your heart. You'll read that scripture that Graham read and just meditate on it. There's nothing greater medicine than meditating on the Word of God. Amen. Okay? Thank you, Graham.
Thank you, Colin.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, just for this time, Father, just to open and just to pull everything together, Father God. And Lord, many people have got many things on their hearts, Father God, and we thank you, Lord, for the things that have been shared this morning, Lord, particularly those in the prophetic, Father God. Lord, we pray that as this weekend continues through, Father, that, Lord, you will just bring out the things that you want to be heard, Father God. Lord, I pray, Father, for an impartation to each man present this weekend, Father God, and each woman, Father. And, Lord, we know that every person comes, Father, with expectant hearts, Father. So, Lord, we pray, Father, that you'll meet the desires of people's hearts this weekend, Father. We pray that, Lord, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen.